Yhteistyössä Grafia sekä Arkkitehtuurimuseo ja Designmuseo.
Every city has their own ever-changing creative communities. Why do these matter and how to create one? And what kind of creative outlets should we all strive to keep? What makes a city feel like home? Oh, and also, what is so special about Helsinki at the moment? My name is Anni Korkman. This week again in English, hopefully with fewer thought breaks and grammatical errors than last week. So nice to have you listening. This is Helsinki Design Weekly. Today I have the pleasure to pick the brain of a creative director, a designer and a newcomer in Helsinki, Adam Tickle. Hey Adam, welcome to Radio Helsinki.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm good. Sun is shining.
Sun is shining. There's some spring in the air. We're actually in your part of town at the moment. I know you live in Viiskulma. You work at Aalto University in Otaniemi. And we are, of course, in Radio Helsinki studio on Pikkuroba in Punavuori. But how did you end up here?
I've been here now for 2 years. Quite a classic story of meeting a girl. So I arrived in 2022, but I came via Stockholm, via London, but originally I'm from Manchester.
That's correct. And then from Manchester, you moved to study in Bath?
Yeah, I studied in the southwest of England in a beautiful place called Bath.
And then in London, working as a graphic designer?
Yeah, I held many different roles in my time in London. I graduated in 2007. I went to work at an ad agency, but then I worked across various different disciplines. I worked in within brands. I worked with the music industry, but most of the time it was surrounding culture was really where I tried to spend my time.
And there's so many opportunities and so many things happening in London at the same time. I know you find meaning in working with several different cultural actors, and I believe some of the Radio Helsinki listeners might be aware of some of your earlier work that you did in London. Would you like to mention some projects or highlights that you think have been quite formative for you?
Yeah, and I think I've told this story a few times now, but I hope there's enough new listeners to feel this.
I don't think I've heard that.
This is interesting, but I think the story actually starts a lot sooner than London. So I was born in 1985, so I was a teenager growing up in the early 2000s. And in Manchester especially, I think, or maybe in the whole of the UK, what was really popular at the time was, band music and guitar music. And it was the year American Pie came out, so all the kids are listening to Blink-182 and, Green Day and whatnot. And I found myself with a bunch of friends that were all into this scene. And a lot of them were all, wanted to make music. So they were starting bands, picking up the guitar, playing drums or singing. And I was, that was the last thing I was going to do. First of all, I don't have the confidence to stand on stage and express my feelings, but I loved the world that surrounded that, and I was like, how do I become part of this world? And I thought it's maybe through design. I was lucky to grow up in a home that was very encouraging of the creative scene and creative world, whether it comes to art or going to concerts or art galleries or, my parents hold National Trust memberships, so we were always going to cultural institutions. So my entry into that world was through design. My dad ran a design practice at the time, and we had old Macs and PCs lying around the home, so I naturally kind of gravitated towards Photoshop, and I became sort of obsessed with creating artwork or taking photos. So my way into that world and to kind of contribute to what my friends was doing was through imagery. And this was at the time when, you know, you would come home from school, you'd go straight onto your computer, you'd log on to like, well, we had MSN Messenger. I don't know in Finland if it was the same thing. Maybe
yeah,
it was,
we did. Yeah.
You know, so all your mates were on there, you know, sharing music, downloading music from Napster and Morpheus, LimeWire, all these like dodgy websites. And that was also the time of forums, like internet forums, like pre-social media. So I used to just sit on this forum called Punktastic and would like absorb myself in this new, like, scene, I guess. And I would just put up posts on these forums being like, hey, I'll do your flyers for free. I'll do your like record sleeves for free or T-shirts, whatever. Like I was living at home. I didn't have any overheads. So, you know, one thing led to another. And I started doing graphics for like a bunch of the UK underground scene in it. Kind of all came from this desire to be part of something. Mm. And that mentality is something that I've carried my whole career. It's like, how do I become part of culture? How do I become part of like the ecosystem of a city?
Mm. And contribute to something.
Yeah, not just take, you know, give. Like, so I've really tried to give wherever I've landed. And so I go to, you know, so then I leave home at 18, I go to study. Still very much in this sort of mindset of contributing to stuff, and graduate 2007, move to London, and then that's like a whole nother story. Mm. I was lucky that the agency I landed at the time is called Mother London. It's like quite a big creative agency, advertising agency, and they were situated on this street called Red Church Street, in Shoreditch, 2008. It's just like the most amazing time. You know, I'd freshly graduated, like hungry for the world. How do I get involved in something new? And this street, Red Church Street at the time, was, you know, every Thursday, it was like gallery opening.
First Thursdays,
yeah. Thirsty Thursdays was I think the official name. And I met this amazing bunch of mates, I think between the time of like 2008 and 2012. Who were all just like from other places that congregated in London during this time. And we, it was just a sort of real sense of like creative discovery. But this mentality that I had as a kid or as a young teenager, wanting to be part of this punk scene, had shifted to, you know, a new scene, which was like electronic music, DJ culture. But again, in my head, I was like, I'm not a DJ. I can't produce music. Mm. How am I going to get involved in this world? And it turned out a bunch of those people that I got to know were starting to make really exciting things. And one of those things was Boiler Room, which has gone on to become this like global phenomenon. And at the time, it was just this kind of offshoot of a magazine called Platform Magazine. And I was hanging around with these friends, and they were like, had this warehouse space in East London in Hackney, and which is where they ran this magazine out at the time. But they had this small back room, similar size to what we're starting to hear, happened to hold like the boiler of the warehouse.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to stick a webcam back in the, you know, era. This is like 2010, so like webcams were still like, you know, kind of a thing. So we're going to stick a webcam on a PC with like two turntables. We're going to invite our mates to come and DJ. I'm going to film it. Thing is, it turned out their mates were James Blake, Mount Kimby, Sampha, Subtract, the XX, Theo Parrish, I don't know, and like the best of the best that were like running around London at the time. And I was just going along. I was like sat with my mates on this like bench that they had like in the room, and they were like, oh, Adam, like you do graphic design, right? I was like, well, yeah, I guess so. I was like, I've never considered myself like a really good graphic designer. I'm not like nerdy enough, but I really care about like what imagery looks like, and having like bold like graphics and impactful stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'm a graphic designer. And they're like, oh, well, just things getting interesting. Like, could you do us a logo or flyer? Like, we need flyers to put on I think it was Facebook at the time, like, just to promote these things. I'm like, yeah, yeah, sure, like, no problem. So end up, like, they take me for lunch. That's, like, the payment for this job. And I, like, show them this graphic, which is boiler room graphic, you know, what is now. And
what is today, yeah.
What is today. And I was, like, so confident on, like, this was what it should be. And they were like, oh, yeah, can we change the font, you know? It was like, can we have it the same font as the magazine we're doing? Mm. I was like, no, you don't understand. It's, like, it's so important that it's this typeface and it looks like this. And I've talked about it a few times, but the logo is inspired by the Technic slip mat. When you look at a Technic slip mat, it's this circle. It's got Technics written across the middle in this, like, chunky, extended typeface. And I was like, we're going to flip, like, Technic slip mat. That's the graphic, because that graphic, in when it comes to, like, music culture, and this music culture that Boiler Room was making at the time was, like, the next pirate radio. London was, like, famous for pirate radio back in the day, like, you know, 90s, you know, it was everywhere. And this was now, like, 2010. It's, like, new pirate radio. It's, like, new garage culture, like, post dubstep era. So I was like, the graphic needs to, like, be symbolic of that. So the logo is a flip on the Technics turntable, but it's sort of inspired by these, like, pure garage CDs that were doing the rounds during the pirate radio station. And yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like almost 15, 18 years old or something now. Boiler Room is, like, still stands the test of time, and it's on t-shirts and it's bootlegged and it's memed. And that's often the sign of a good graphic, you know, if someone started memeing it, you know, it's,
yes, that's,
it's hit
true
culture.
If anyone listening is not aware of the logo we're discussing at the moment, I recommend you to have a look on Google. You might recognize it, even if you haven't been too familiar with the Boiler Room project.
I think, like, what was a really nice twist in the story is one of the guys that started Boiler Room, or one of the early, like, kind of people that were involved in it, my friend Femi. He's like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to leave this now, I want to do my own thing. I've got this blog, you know, everyone was doing blogs at the time. I've got this blog called...
Yeah, I remember blogs.
I'm going to do this blog called Nuts to Soup. I was like, okay, interesting. It's like, yeah, but we're going to shorten it. We're going to do a radio station called Nuts to Soup, but the abbreviation for Nuts to Soup is NTS. He's like, Adam, you do graphics, right? I was like, yeah, I do graphics. It's like, could you do us a logo for this, like, radio station? Mm. I was like, yeah, sure. So we go for lunch again, or dinner, I think it was. Like, took us
dinner this time.
Dinner. You know, we were living in North London at the time, so it was...
Kebab,
Turkish, yeah, food, you know, the best. So we got taken for lunch. I turn up with this, like, piece of A4 paper. Five graphics on it, all the cliche you can imagine, like satellites and radio waves and electricity, you know, this is radio, right? And then there was this one graphic, the smallest one on the whole page, square logo, NTS, written in the middle of it. And there was, like, a couple of other guys there. It's like, my friend Shane also was there. He was like, that's the one. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of, we're kind of ripping off the BBC with it, you know. BBC, I don't know if it's still the same, but the BBC is like three squares. It's like, yeah, we'll stick it one square, NTS radio. It's like, yeah, one piece of paper, no pitch, no market research, no insights, no followers. Yeah, we'll go for that one.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Welcome back. It's Helsinki Design Weekly. My name is Anni Korkman. Your name is Adam Tickle. Adam, you've just now said that you strive to make an impact and an influence to the place you live and work in. And to me, this sounds like you're onto something quite essential when talking about the need to constantly create meaning through your work. How can we all do that?
It's a good question. It's a really big question. I guess there's meaning to me. Like, how does it make, what's the meaning for me, but also what does it mean for other people? And I think I really started to get onto something with when I left London and moved to Stockholm, and I took a job at a company called Sneakers and Stuff, which was really really formative for me, actually, in my work that I'm, what I do today, or what I'm trying to do today. My era in London was my 20s, where I'm just, like, freestyling. through life and jobs, you know.
Like one does in their 20s.
Yeah, like finding my feet, you know, and stuff I've already talked about, that had meaning in a different way. It meant stuff. It had references to the past, but it was new for then. But I think when it comes to maybe meaning now and like a bigger picture, and especially where we stand in society today, where people are looking for meaning within everything you do, it's, you know, what does it stand for? Who does it support? What does it mean? What communities is it, you know, representing or backing? Is I really figured that out, I think, when I was with this job at Sneakers and stuff. So I moved to Sweden in 2016. I met my wife Annika in London. We lived there for 2 years together. She's from Helsinki, but we thought we would have a little like prelude to Finland and go via Sweden. So we were there for 6 years, and I took this job at a company called Sneakers and stuff. For those that don't know it, it's like a global player on the streetwear and sneaker scene. It started in 1999 in Stockholm. It's a pioneer of that movement back then. Now there's millions of people doing it. So I went on there and I held many titles. It was like titles were kind of a myth anyway there. It was like everyone just got stuck in to make stuff happen. But I took a job there as a, I can't remember, some kind of like brand thing. But anyway, I was basically looking after the content. And what did we mean by content? I think content today is like Instagram reels and TikTok dancing and, exactly, you know, noodle reviews. Whereas at that point, it was more about creating content to tell stories around products. And what I managed to get myself into a position was we, as a company, operated almost like this mini agency between brands like Nike, Adidas, Reebok, New Balance, Puma, and then also like the customer. But the customer that I think Sneakers and stuff really helmed and was part of was this, and brands talk about it constantly now, it's this like community of customers, but they were like a community of sneakerheads or streetwear enthusiasts, and that is different to a regular customer, or at least it was. And what was so important for the brands that you worked with was like, what is the meaning you're making through the work that you're creating from, you know, the campaigns that you're doing. So I was doing lots of lookbooks and films and documentaries, events, parties, panel discussions around this customer base, aka this community. But to get back onto the idea of meaning, how I found meaning within that was you'd have these brands with all this money, this like big budgets, especially like the likes of like Nike and Adidas. You know, they come to you, it's like, okay, we've got this like Air Max 95, bring that to market, here's X amount of money. So I'm like, thank you, I'm going to take that and I'm going to give it to some like next up and coming creative designer, photographer, stylist, filmmaker, director, and give them a shot at like making something amazing. Maybe a shot that, you know, here's 50 grand, go and like tell the story you want to do, just like land Air Max 95 in there somewhere. So what meaning I think that gave me was like, personally, it's like I'm helping next gen talent create and like have impact in the world. The meaning for them was it showed that it's possible within your community or group of mates that you can be young and be like seen as a talent to make stuff happen. And now it's like, you know, you got 16-year-olds on Instagram saying they're creative directors, and you know, I take that with a pinch of salt, but at the same time I'm like, yeah, like young people are making like amazing stuff like all the time, and it comes out of this hunger to like, you know, have your voice or say in the world. And that's what really inspires me. Like, I'm really inspired by like this next gen hunger to like make stuff happen. So I don't know if that answers your question, but for me, it was, what's meaningful for me is like seeing how people can like grasp opportunities and like make exciting things that benefit the people around them.
And I suppose you're passing on the sort of opportunities that you were also given to in a very organic way.
Yeah, I felt like I've been that person. You know, I was the one that, you know, wanted those opportunities. Sometimes I had to like make them for myself. I think the Boiler Room one was that. We were all like just figuring stuff out. But now it's like, now I got to a position where actually I can, it's not about me anymore. It's about, you know, I'm happy with who I am and with what I've done. It's like, how can I now reach out and like give someone else like the next opportunity? There's been a few people in my career and life that have like took a chance on me, and there's still people today taking a chance on me. So now all I'm trying to do is like pay that forward. It's like, how can I do that for the next one coming up?
That's a very nice and generous way of working and living, creating. However, your day job today is working as the lead designer in the brand team of Aalto University. Yeah. What's a typical day like for you today?
Yeah, and going back to like being given a chance, that was a chance. Mm. You know, my boss, Eivor, took a total chance on me. I'm like an outsider, like within that world. And, you know, my portfolio doesn't scream like graphic design, far from it. But I think she saw something in me that I could like have an impact. So now my, you know, the day-to-day job at Aalto University is like, how do we, well, there's some really, really normal stuff. I'm making like, make PowerPoint templates, but also help shape how a new building might operate, or what's the look and feel of an event, or, you know, do we need to brand a moment and whatnot. But what I'm really trying to do there is, how do I take this world that I've talked about already and like land it in like the education space? And for me, that's what's really exciting. I want to make the university space like look different, because it kind of all looks the same, like on a global level. So for being given the chance to do Aalto, which is like major force within Finland, in my opinion, that's like a gift.
Definitely. Very exciting things happening in Aalto University, of course. You mentioned the new building, the new Marsio building opening in the Otaniemi campus, which I'm hoping to be able to discuss in this radio show a lot more later on. But also, you have quite a famous side project now. A lot of people have asked me, where is this Helsinki Playground? So my question to you, Adam Tickle, is, what is Helsinki Playground?
Yeah, that is a question I'm getting a lot recently. Helsinki Playground is the result of the past like 18 years of my career. It exists out of a need to be part of something. So I come here 2022 with what I thought was like good experience, good network, portfolio. A lot of friends at the time, not from Helsinki but internationally, were like, yeah, you'll be fine, you know, you'll get a job, no problem. So I turn up to Helsinki, I'm like, all right, where's all the jobs then? Let's go. Nothing. You know, I was applying for work, getting like no answers, cold emailing like lots of places that I would like to work, and like, yeah, I was getting like no reply. And then I took a sort of like look inwards, and I was like, why is that? And well, there wasn't any jobs, maybe that could be one answer. And it's also very hard just to like make a job out of thin air. So I was like, okay, rather than like arriving in this new place and wanting to take from it, it's like, why not arrive and give to it? So how do I take these learnings from the past and like implement them into this new place? So it started as an Instagram account with like nothing on it, just some logos.
And logo created in collaboration with
Fred. Yeah, well, originally it was like a bootleg logo. Then it morphed into this great logo by this artist, Frederick Correll, who's now a good friend and like super great talent.
Yes, definitely.
But I was like, I'm going to just start this Instagram account and I'm going to upload stuff about Helsinki design that I really like, you know. Even if it's like quite cliche stuff, like, or like classic stuff, I was like, you know, I'm just gonna like stick it up there and write about it from this outsider perspective, just for fun, like, why not? And then, like, all these interesting people start from Helsinki start following it. And I think it has something to do with the algorithm. You know, if, like, you start a new account, it starts popping up in people's feeds, being like, follow this. And so, yeah, I start, like, writing about stuff that I think maybe Finns see as quite normal, when actually they're really beautiful. And but I'm writing it from this outside perspective. And then friends that I meet, well, I call them friends now, I'm like, why are people gravitating towards this? And they're like, Adam, I think it's because you're like talking about, you're celebrating stuff that we think is just normal. And
would you like to give an example of a thing or a post that you that you noticed? And
yeah, there was a few. One was like, I think a few people probably already know this story around this Alto stool, and it's like links to skateboarding. And and you know, Supreme did this collaboration, so I just like stuck that up there and started talking about it. And but then there was another post about how the Alto stool was at the Hacienda, which is a nightclub in, well, a very famous nightclub in Manchester in the 80s, Factory Records. Again, that's going straight back into my DNA that we touched on earlier. You know, and I was just putting up like Nokia phones, like, and mood boards around all the old Nokia advertising, and the caption was the original Gen Z. And I think that just really like resonated with people. But yeah, Helsinki Playground existed for as me as an outsider to come here and make friends. And then that worked, and we were already friends, but, you know, met a bunch of great people.
Like-minded people, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I have to mention the store Common and Koske and Masako that run that place. Helsinki Playground wouldn't really be what it is without those guys. You know, Koske was like, Adam, I know you like buying vintage stuff and collecting handicrafts and things. Like, why don't you have a table in the shop and just like sell stuff? And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. Actually, I need to like clear my attic out. That's a great idea. But why don't we make it more than that? And let's turn it into this event. And so we did some t-shirts, and then...
Yeah, that was the first event. So this was in Common, the shop in Viiskulma.
Yeah.
And the first Helsinki Playground event, which included some vintage and antique objects created by yourself.
Yeah, but all really playful, colourful, fun, you know, not too like serious. And that was May last year, so we're coming up to 1 year. And
anniversary.
Yeah.
You should celebrate.
Yeah.
Event. But and everyone were there. At least it felt like it. Lots of people came.
Yeah, so like a load of people came, and I was like, all right, then there's something here. But the reason it worked, I think, was because I utilized the idea of collaboration and working with other people, the community that was already here. So you had, well, Common as the venue. They were the one, they've got a reach already. Frederick, he's like, you know, hot up and coming artist. He's like, you know, everyone follows him. He does the artwork for it.
Yes.
We've got Leo and DJ Fiskars. I was like, hey man, come and play music at this. He does this like Japan City Pop thing. And then Johnny Stanley, who I also meet along the way, he's doing lots of things, but Let Me Wine was one of the things he was involved in. I was like, could you like throw some wine at this event? Like, please. He's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So all of a sudden, me, nobody, you know, start something at this at Common, and we're utilizing all these people's reach. So then it just like, it spreads. And yeah, and everyone turns up, and then I'm like, okay, what's next? What do we do with this? And I'm like, well, it's a platform for this city. It's a platform for the people here. I love Helsinki, and I think there's so much, you know, talent here that maybe on an international scale doesn't get recognized. We are in the like, compared to some of our wonderful Nordic neighbors, you know, that get a lot of the limelight. I'm like, well, what about Helsinki? So little by little, it's going to take time. That's the mission. It's like, how do we like amplify what's here?
Exactly. Full support to this mission. I don't know if this has anything to do with the stereotypical bad Finnish self-esteem, but we didn't need an Englishman to tell us we're really cool and we have this this warm energy and all happening here in Helsinki. It's Helsinki Design Weekly still for another 10 or 15 minutes. My name is, of course, Anni Korkman. And today with me in the studio, I have Adam Tickle, the myth behind Helsinki Playground. And we talked a little bit about this project, Helsinki Playground, that has collaboration in its core. We know that you are open for different suggestions and see where it takes you, and you want to work with a lot of different creatives in a community-like way. Is this something that you would never do, though, with Helsinki Playground?
Yeah, I think when it comes to collaboration, what I'm trying to do is hit the two ends of the spectrum. It either needs to be like Legends. So you've got Marimekko, which we did last year.
Yes.
Got a shout sell him out for that.
Mm.
And then the other end is like grassroots, like who are like the movers and shakers of this city, you know. So then you've got Common, Way Bakery, Let Me Wine, Post Bar, you know, that space. The middle is less interesting to me when it comes to brands, not like events or partners, but like brands. Is like, I don't think anyone really benefits with the middle. It's like grassroots or big
Legends. I love that. So I have to ask, what are you planning? What's next for Helsinki Playground?
There's a few fun things happening. So in May again, we're gonna do the as last May with Common, we did this mini playground. So we're doing a second one May 11th, but we're gonna focus it on children. So it's all like children's stuff. So vintage, Finnish, kids, toys, but also Japan. Like, we're really going to fuse like Japan and Finland with this one. So I was in Tokyo recently and we brought back a bunch of like fun things. There'll be some new t-shirts. There's a really fun identity that we're working on for that. And then in the 1st of June, we'll do a ceramic and craft fair with the Way Bakery team. They have this, you have to help me with the pronunciation, but this Karhupuisto. Yeah, park in Karlio. So we will take over that park for the day. We'll have some sellers coming from Stockholm, but also Japan and Helsinki, designers and craft makers and vintage dealers. What we're really aiming for is next year is like a big moment in Tokyo. There's some really exciting conversations happening at the moment with a brand out there to really take this mission further about how does Helsinki Playground and the community of this city exist outside of this city, because otherwise it's just going to become, you know, this like small thing here that everyone knows. There's only so many people that need a Helsinki Playground t-shirt in Helsinki. And most of them probably already have one.
So I have one myself.
So when it comes to like, if we're talking business, it's like, yeah, it's not so much. Mm. So it's like, but look, let's take this community out of the city elsewhere. Because I believe if we do that, it's going to reflect back on home.
Mm.
And I think then it's, you know, we all win then.
So the long-term plan, it will be to make more products, though, more t-shirts.
Yeah, the product is just the vehicle for the like the conversation and the story and the mission. It's not the last thing I want to do is start a streetwear brand. That is just so low on the agenda because there's so many people that do it so well, and it's just not interesting for me. Mm. I want to make stuff that's like really surprising to people and interesting. I don't just want to put more stuff out into the world. So if we're going to make something, it needs to have a person and a story attached to it.
Mm. We're slowly coming to the end of this conversation at this time. And I will have to ask a very easy and light question, but when I think of you, I think of your aesthetics. I think you have a very strong strong idea of what you like and also how you want to live. But, you know, as many designers or people working in the creative visual industry, you care a lot about these things and you surround yourself with beautiful thing. What is the value in that? What do you get from living with everyday beautiful things?
Yeah, it's another good question. Quite a difficult answer, but I think we can. I can drill it into one item maybe, which has something to do with like this whole story. And it's so when we moved here 2 years ago, one of the first shows I went to was by Frederick. I think it was his first first exhibition. He did it with a friend in Wieskoma. And like everything sold in like the first day, pretty much. I was like, oh, I wanted to buy something because the price point was like really, really accessible. I was like, okay, I want to buy something. So I go the next day. In fact, I can't make the opening, so I go the next day and everything's sold apart from like one piece. So I'm going to have to buy it. I'm going to buy that one. And it's this like pretty big painting he did. And so I buy it, and it, you know, it looks really nice. It's a beautiful picture, and it's in our living room. But what that did is it started a friendship and a collaboration. And so yes, I'm living with this beautiful object, but these objects that I have, there needs to be a deeper like connection to some of, not everything. You know, I don't have like an emotional connection to my like frying pans, but you know. Well, a couple of them, maybe.
I was going to say, you do love your frying pans.
but with the painting, it's a nice picture, but it's connected to Frederick. Frederick is instrumental in Helsinki Playground being a success, and that's really beautiful.
Agreed. The last question is a very general one, and feel free to tell me what you want. But I know you are a curious person and you notice things around you. What kind of things have you noticed recently? What are you especially excited about at this time?
What I've noticed about Finnish people is there's this like really like beautiful resilience, especially when it comes to like the seasons. Everyone knows it's going to be rubbish for like 8 months of the year in Finland.
At least, yeah.
Like, you know, everyone knows it. They've lived through it their entire lives. But then there's this like moment and we're just entering it now. It's like this, like it's getting lighter. The city's waking up. Everyone's like back on their game. And like, this is a really beautiful time. This time is almost better than summer because it's like the prelude to summer. This is like the Thursday night of the week, you know. It's okay to open a beer. No one's going to judge you.
It's the Thursday.
It's the Thursday. So
I'm glad you mentioned it. My favorite thing is when the first sun rays come out and you see people just pausing on the street, like wait in the traffic lights, and they can feel the sun on their faces and they close their eyes, and you're like, okay, yeah, we're all just part of this.
Yeah. And you know what? The Helsinki Playground logo is the sun.
It is.
It's the light.
Oh, nice.
It's the light in Helsinki.
Too perfect. Thank you so much, Adam Tickle. It was a pleasure having you here in Radio Helsinki studio.